Hello everyone, welcome to the first in a series of podcasts that we are attempting to put on here for Middleton Primary School. This is something very new for us. We've never done anything like this before, but what we've decided to do, rather than having information events where parents have to set a particular time to come in and find out more about school life, we're going to run a series of different podcasts that just explain a little bit more detail about certain aspects of school life. So today we're going to be focusing on safeguarding. I forgot to introduce myself. My name is Mr. Hughes. I'm one of the deputy head of teachers here at Middleton and the safeguarding lead here at Middleton. And I'm joined today by Mrs. Trowell.
Mrs. Trowell, my name is Mrs. Trowell. I'm the other deputy and I'm a deputy safeguarding lead at Middleton Primary.
Thank you, Mr. Trowell. So today what we're going to do is we're going to kind of just talk through some of the key safeguarding aspects of school life. And for us, safeguarding is the most important thing that we do here at Middleton. Obviously, yes, teaching your children to read and write and all the other wonderful subjects is really important, but making sure our children are safe and healthy and happy is absolutely key for us. So what we wanted to do is kind of just talk to you about some of the key things that as a school we focus on in terms of safeguarding. Talk about some of the definitions, some of the terminology, because you may have heard different terms over the years, and we just want to explain some of that and just explain the processes that we have in place here. So we're going to start off by kind of just clarifying what we mean by safeguarding and child protection. So Mrs. Trowell, what would we, when we're saying safeguarding, what are we meaning by that?
Well, at Middleton, what we mean by safeguarding is purely the actions that we take in school to make sure that your child is safe. It's the way that we check in with the children every single day. It's the way that we build relationships, and it's the way that we ensure that your children feel safe to talk to us or talk to any member of staff about anything that they might be worried about or anything that might be giving them cause for concern that perhaps has happened at home or has happened in school.
Yeah, that, as Mr. Trowell said, it's very much everything we do just to make sure the children are safe. And we feel that safeguarding is something that every member of staff at school is aware of. All the children are aware of it as well. We'll talk a little bit later about how we teach the children to keep themselves safe and their protective behaviours, but it's having that culture of safeguarding. And then I suppose in some unfortunate circumstances, safeguarding then kind of leads on to child protection. And what would that look like?
That is, as Mr. Hughes has said, it's usually much rarer that we deal with anything to do with child protection at school. But it's when a child is genuinely at risk of being harmed, potentially at home or in another setting, perhaps outside of the home. And it's the action that we would take to ensure that that stops. It's the actions that we would take in school to find out from the child what has happened, and in under those circumstances, that's when we would look for external help, when we would refer to something called the MASH, the multi-agency safeguarding hub, which I know that we're coming on to talk about later. But child protection is something that all adults in Middleton School are aware of, and we're all trained to look out for certain signs, and it's something that we take extremely seriously.
Yeah, it's very much so. And as Mr. Trowell said there, that culture we have at school is that all adults have full training on how to keep an eye on children. And we do strongly encourage the children to talk to us if there is something that's worrying them. And we have a couple of things that we say to the children. We say that you have the right to feel safe all of the time, whether it's at home, whether it's at school, whether it's when they're playing out in the evening. And that they can talk to anyone about anything, no matter how awful it feels or how big or small it feels as well. So we do encourage that from our children. We think it's very important that we have that culture of openness, and that if children are worried about anything at all, that they tell us about it. And so sometimes that does mean that the children may tell us about things that happen at home. And we're not going to apologise for actually encouraging that from the children, because we feel it's really beneficial they have that place at school where they can speak to someone about things that concern them.
And they need to know that they're going to be listened to, and that they're going to be taken seriously, and that somebody's going to listen to what they're saying, and that maybe something will happen as a result.
And that's, yeah, that's absolutely key, because there's no point in having that openness for the children to tell us about how they're feeling if we don't do anything with that information. And there will be times where when we hear something that a child has told us, obviously we listen with a very open mind and we don't ever make any judgments about what has happened and the full details about it. But we do have a responsibility that if a child comes and shares some information with us, that we follow it up. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that does mean speaking to parents. Absolutely. And they can be challenging conversations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not always easy, not easy for us, not easy for you guys, but at the heart of it, it's always about keeping
the child safe.
Keeping the child safe, definitely. So we do have very clear process here at school that our staff have to follow if a child does disclose something or does bring a worry to a member of staff. We have a system in school where we record those concerns, and then we have a team of safeguarding leads across the school who pick up any concerns that children might have. So obviously you'll know that myself and Mrs. Trail are designated safeguarding leads. We're also joined by Mr. Higgs, mm-hmm. Assistant Head, who's also Deputy Safeguarding Lead. We've got Mrs. Dyer, who is Assistant Head. We've got Miss Bennett, who's our Online Safety Lead, and Mrs. Turner, mm-hmm. who is our Extended Schools Lead as well. All of those members of staff are safeguarding trained as safeguarding leads. And of course, not forgetting Mrs. Roberts, a head teacher,
who has the overview. And also, parents might not be aware that all throughout any school holidays, there's always a DSL on duty as well. So if anything happens outside of school hours, there's always one of the DSLs are always on duty throughout all of the holidays that teachers have in case anything needs to be reported at that point.
Yeah, we do sometimes have social workers who still need to get in touch with us to deal with families and support for children over the summer and the other holidays, so we're always on call for that. So going back to the process, our staff will report a concern, one of the safeguarding leads will pick it up and kind of look into it a little bit more and decide what kind of action needs to be taken. Now, sometimes some of the concerns children raise, it might be no further action. It's something we just record as a bit of evidence for us for future reference, mm-hmm. possibly. But sometimes we do have to take further action. Sometimes that could be if a child has told us a concern that maybe they haven't had breakfast for a few mm-hmm. days in a row or something along those lines. We would then speak to parents.
Yeah.
And again, it's that relationship we have with parents. We feel confident that we can talk to you guys, and if there's something that's worrying your child, you want to know about it so that we can share that. There are some occasions when a child will disclose something, perhaps a little bit more serious, where we have a legal responsibility as a school to pass it on to the local authority. So that could be, for example, if a child disclosed that they had been physically hurt by a parent.
Maybe smacked or been chastised in a different way following some perhaps poor behaviour choices at home, something like that, or perhaps if there'd been some sort of verbal sort of arguing, extreme level at home, those sorts of things are things that we perhaps would have to refer on.
Yeah, and we do have a legal responsibility to do that, and what action follows that is up to the local authority, but we have that responsibility to do that. And so the contact we have is to the multi-agency safeguarding hub, which the acronym for that is MASH, and you can find the links to mm-hmm. MASH on our school website. So if we had a concern at that level, we would contact MASH, mm-hmm. and they have duty social workers who at the end of the phone who are always on call during school hours, and there's also other procedures in place out mm-hmm. of school hours. But it's a good reassurance for us as a school that we can contact a social worker, a trained social worker who would give advice. And Mrs. Trail, when we do that, and quite fortunately we don't have to do that very often, but when we do have to make a referral, mm-hmm. what's the kind of process? What happens there?
So normally you make the telephone call, you speak to a sort of a triage social worker in the first instance who listens to what it is that you want to report. They will then be able to look on their systems to see if perhaps the child is already known to social services, because the hub is able to link up all of the different services, so health and the police and everything else, so they will have sort of the overview. So it might be that the piece of information that we then share with them could be the final piece of the jigsaw puzzle that perhaps they're waiting for. So they can link everything together, they will then refer on to perhaps a proper social worker or a fully trained social worker who will come onto the phone, and then as a school we will go through exactly what has happened, and then either they'll give us some advice, and often that advice is that they would like the school to speak to parents. If it's perhaps the first time that this child's name has been raised, that's often what happens. Other times they might decide to send a social worker out to speak to the child, or they may just take action on themselves to perhaps contact the parents and speak to the parents with, you know, without the school then staying involved. But they always feed back and let us know exactly what they've done. And we are very good at Middleton, as I'm sure you will understand, at following things like that up. If we haven't heard back from a social worker within a day or two, we're straight on the phone to find out what has happened, and we then update our safeguarding software so that we've got the complete picture.
Yeah, and Mrs. Child pretty much covered everything there, explaining what the MASH team do. I think it's that kind of pulling together information from different agencies. If you are of a certain age and remember some of the rather horrific child protection cases that happened in the early 2000s, where there were families where police knew information about them, healthcare, school, but none of that information was shared.
There was no joined up thinking, was there?
It wasn't. Yeah, it just wasn't connecting, and nobody was piecing together all these small bits of information to think, okay, a child is really at risk here. That's what MASH do, and they do that really well. And there are times where we will call MASH with a small piece of information that actually feeds into a bigger picture, and it leads to support for that family, for that child. So it's a really valuable service that it offers in Milton Keynes.
It's very reassuring to know that you've got somebody at the end of the phone who is going to give you some solid advice, and who has got the child's best interests at heart. They're sort of objective because they don't know the child, they don't know the family, they can just give you some really good advice as to how to take the situation forward, how to make sure that the child is safe moving forwards.
And that, of course, is our priority, like it is for you guys as parents. The absolute safety of a child is the absolute priority for us, for you, and for social workers. So we have to view that as a positive service that is there when things don't quite go as planned, which unfortunately can be the case. So we're going to move on a little bit now. We touched on this earlier, that not only are our staff fully trained at school in terms of safeguarding, but we also teach the children in their RSHE lessons about protective behaviours and how to keep themselves safe online. And I mentioned earlier there were the two main things that the children are taught about: having the right to feel safe all the time and being able to talk to anyone about anything, however big or small it is. So those lessons, the children actually, all children from foundation all the way to year six, will have those protective behaviour lessons at the start of every term. So if you ask your children about it in the next couple of weeks, they will at the very start of this school year in September, but now we're in January, and again after the Easter holidays we'll have refresher lessons about how to keep themselves safe. One of the key aspects of that is the network hand. Mrs. Joe, do you want to talk about
that? Network hand is a really useful way to help the children to remember and to nominate adults that they consider to be safe, adults that they feel that they could talk to about anything. So we encourage the children to do an outline of their own hand, and then on their own hands they write, nominate the names of adults that they feel would be trusted adults that they would be able to share any worries or concerns with. And we have adults nominated from school, but also adults nominated from home on their hands as well. So they've got a range of people, because it's very difficult if your child would only have one person at school to talk to, and that one person happens to be away on the day that your child needs to talk to someone. And we also encourage them, perhaps at the start of their year, to, if they need to choose adults from the year before, that's absolutely fine. And then as they move through the year, what normally happens is they become closer and closer to the adults within their own year groups, and then they nominate adults within their own actual year team sort of eventually, so they feel safe. And they're seeing, because they're seeing those adults every single day, those relationships are continually developing, and the children feel that there's somebody there every single day that they could talk to, and that they've got a range of options if one person's not there or is busy that day.
Yeah, it's very much about creating that culture for children that they can talk to lots of different members of staff, but if there's something worrying them, they can have that person to talk to. Those lessons then also go on at age appropriate. Obviously what's taught at foundation compared to year six is very different, but then the children are taught about what that means to keep themselves safe. Even down in foundation, they are learning about the pants rule. I'm not going to sing the Pantasaurus song here.
You can Google it.
But Google
the link
Pantasaurus,
to it's on the website, I think.
But essentially, what's in your pants belongs only to you. And it's about teaching the children that actually their privates remain private, so that if anybody was to touch them in their privates area, they have to talk to someone about that.
And then that moves on to safe and unsafe touching as they get a little bit older, and then also into safe and unsafe secrets, and obviously into sort of, as we move on into year six, sort of peer pressure and all of those sorts of things come into it as well. So it is very age appropriate, but all of that information is on our website in our RSE curriculum.
Yeah, and it's all there for you to see on the website.
But if you ask your children, they'll know all about it.
They're seeing you the Pantasaurus.
Yes, I'm sure they will.
And obviously, that's about personal safety. Obviously, we teach the children a whole range of other safety aspects: road safety, online safety,
water safety,
sun safety.
Yeah.
So it's all kinds of different ways that we encourage the children to keep themselves safe. But the protective behaviours, again, ties in directly to what we're talking about here at that age appropriate level.
It's just really important. Otherwise, how do children know that something's not appropriate if we don't teach them that it's not appropriate? So they have to learn it when they're ready at a sort of an age appropriate level, but they need to know how to keep themselves safe in all different types of situations.
And that kind of age appropriate level is so important. Mm-hmm. And as the children get older and they move up the school, and particularly when they get into year 5 and 6, they're also perhaps be exposed to other areas of life safety, things to do around drugs, for example. Mm-hmm. And other aspects of life, unfortunately, that our children are going to have to deal with. Mm-hmm. As they get older. So in Milton Keynes, there is, unfortunately, quite a large gang culture. Mm-hmm. And as part of that, there is the County Lines drug situation, wherein essentially drugs are trafficked across. Mm-hmm.
Parents will probably have seen in several of the underpasses sort of locally, if you walk around Milton Keynes and you use the underpasses, you can see the gang signs and the sort of MK7 gang and the MK8. You can see all the gang related graffiti in some of the underpasses, so some parents may already be familiar with some of that, and perhaps if you've got older children, you may well have heard some of the stories from some of the secondary school children of how, you know, some gang-related activity in Milton Keynes has become to be a little bit more prevalent. And some of you, we've taken our own children from year six along to see the Knife Angel recently that was displayed outside the stadium. So unfortunately, what Mr. Hughes is talking about, he's talking about our contextual Milton Keynes safeguarding. And we live in an area where we have to be aware of gang culture, we have to be aware of all of the drug scene, we have to be aware of knife crime. Whereas if we lived in a different area, we might have different worries. But as a school, we're very sort of aware of the things that we need to be focusing on bringing up children within Milton Keynes.
And that's the thing, and we'd love to be in a situation where we could protect the children from all of this and not have to raise it with them. But certainly for our year six children who are going to be going off to secondary school at the end of this school year, that gang culture, that they're going to be aware of that at some point.
Yeah.
And again, we do it in a very delicate way. The Knife Angel, mm-hmm. the knife workshop that we took the year sixes to was a classic example of this. Mm-hmm. I was fortunate enough to go with one of the year six classes, and it was done at a level perfect for the year six children. But again, not beating around the bush. Some people do carry knives, mm-hmm. and you need to be aware of that and know what the dangers are and the consequences of carrying a knife. And for our older children, mm-hmm. that is an important aspect of life.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it in an ideal world we wouldn't want to be teaching any of these things, but we have to prepare our children and we have to keep them safe.
Well, otherwise they're going to be vulnerable, aren't they, when they go to secondary school if they're not made aware of some of these things before and have an understanding of them before they go.
Very much so, yeah. We've got to skill them up, we've got to mm-hmm. give our children every tool to keep themselves safe, not just at school but out of school.
Out in the real world.
In the real world. So yeah, we think hopefully that gives you kind of a whistle-top tour of everything safeguarding related at school. Again, you can find out more information on our school website. Mm-hmm. If you do have a specific safeguarding question, mm-hmm. If it's directly about your child, it's probably best to go to your class teacher. But if it's a general mm-hmm. safeguarding question, please email the school office. They'll pass it on to us and we'll be happy to help. Thank you, Mr. Trail, for
joining us today. Thank you for inviting me to be part of the first podcast. Very
no exciting. Problem at all. We've got some other podcasts coming up later in the school year. We've got some podcasts about what we do pastorally to mm-hmm. support children who emotionally may need a little bit of extra support in school. We've got other ones around attendance and different things throughout the school year. So we will put these up. Again, it's something new we're doing. So
if you've got any suggestions of anything that you think we ought to do or that might be a good area to do a podcast about, please also get in touch with any suggestions.
Indeed, please do. Yeah, we want these to be valuable, so anything you can suggest certainly will help mm-hmm. us moving forward. Okay, enjoy the rest of your day, evening, whenever you're listening to us, and we'll be in touch again soon.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks everyone, bye.